Congressman Darren LaHood out in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good to be with you and your listeners this morning.
Are you in D.C. this morning?
You know what? Because of the snow, we're a little delayed, so I'm headed that way hopefully early this afternoon.
Hey, you know, we all know the government controls the weather. What are you doing?
I wish we had that power to do that, but no, unfortunately, I think they get an inch of snow out there and the whole place shuts down, so hopefully it won't be that big of a deal. We'll get out there and get to working.
All right. Hey, let me, before we get into, obviously, the topic of conversation this morning is the Affordable Care Act. But when you get together with your, not your constituents, but your brothers and sisters in Congress out there, when you get together behind closed doors and you're talking about the president and his tweets, how's that conversation go?
I think the conversation has changed a little bit. You know, I think the tweets from the campaign and some of the overly, partisan stuff, that has changed a little bit over time. I think people, if you listen to the president's State of the Union address, I think it was a very presidential speech. I think people, I thought it was a home run when he talked that night. I think when people see that side of the president, I think it gives them a lot of reassurance that this is why we elected this guy. This is what we wanted to do. This is the hope for the country. I think everybody agrees we wish he would tweet a little less, and I think he started to do that. But it's like a couple people said, there's nobody with him at, 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning. But I think it's changing a little bit. And the more he can act like he did on his State of the Union address, I think the better off we'll be.
But as a Republican, and you have to answer, I mean, people, I'm asking you about it. You have to answer that question. It's got to be just drive you crazy. Here he is. He did have a great speech, and he could have rode that wave. And you're probably thinking, all right, here we go. He's going to ride that wave, and then all of a sudden, bam, he tweets that he thinks that the former President Obama is wiretapping his phones in Trump Tower. It's got to be frustrating.
It is a distraction, Scott, a little distraction. And frankly, I think we have so many big things on the agenda that we have to get done. The more distractions like we have like that, I think the tougher it becomes to get these big things done, which we all agree we have to do. So,
I get you.
We all agree we have to focus on the big things and not the small things.
Well, let's do that now. I get what you're saying. Let's move on to the Affordable Care Act. As it stands right now, what's your feeling?
Well, here's the reality. If I was not in Congress when we voted for Obamacare, the ACA, but if we do nothing in Congress, Scott, this law will collapse. It is going to fail because of the trajectory of what we're on right now. Remember, during the presidential election, even Hillary Clinton said, you have to change it, you have to fix it, you have to revise it. We collectively agree on that. Now, what approach do we do to do that? I mean, I think the bill introduced by Paul Ryan last week is a step in the right direction, but we have a long ways to go. There are some things I like about it. There are other things that I think need to change. Being able to keep your children on their parents' insurance till 25 or 26 is a good thing. Not discriminating against people because of pre-existing conditions is a good thing. But in my district, Scott, premiums have gone up an average of 55% across my district, central, west central Illinois. That has to change. We have to bring costs down. Deductibles. People can say, I have insurance. They argue 20 million more people have insurance. But it's not affordable insurance because your deductibles are $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. That's not what people anticipated with Obamacare. So that has to change. Couple positive things. We have to be able to go across state lines for insurance. So right now in many of the counties that I represent, Scott, you have one choice. Well, that wasn't anticipated with Obamacare. We should have three or four choices. So you should be able to look at an insurance plan from Florida or Georgia or Illinois or Indiana. Right now, you have to just stay within Illinois. So I think that has to change. So,
well, that's something that the Republicans have been screaming about for 8 years, and here we are, and I'm seeing nothing about it in this current plan. They're talking about phase two and phase three when we're wondering whether there is a phase two or phase three right now.
Well, there has to be. Listen, this is what Paul Ryan introduced last week is phase one, and then there's going to have to be a phase two and a phase three. There's no doubt about it.
Can phase one pass? Can the way it's right now, the way the president and Paul Ryan, the legislation they want passed, are you voting for this? Are you voting up or down on this?
Well, first of all, the bill is going to go through three different committees. It started in Energy and Commerce. It's going to go to Ways and Means. It's going to go to Budget, and it's going to go to Rules. We are not going to vote on this, Scott, for another 2 or 3 weeks. So this is a legislative process. I'm not on those committees, so I want to see how it changes, how it gets better, what are the amendments that are going to come before us. So there's a long way. So the other part of this is I'm still digesting this bill, going through this bill, and looking at this. Remember, when Obamacare passed, Scott, there was no transparency. It was on Christmas Eve and the famous line by Nancy Pelosi of, you know, you're going to let's pass it and then we'll read it later. That is not happening here. Now, it is controversial, but it's also complicated and it's nuanced. We have to fix it because it's going to fail. This is a step in the right direction to do that. We'll have an opportunity to vote in 2 or 3 weeks from now, and I look forward to that.
You know, I'm on a good insurance plan through my wife's work, so I don't have to deal with this, but I feel and I'm hearing the frustration, and I don't hear many good stories about the Affordable Care Act. I hear that it's unaffordable, and you talked about it, you addressed it, the high deductibles into the thousands and thousands of dollars, the premiums. Some people paying, I heard the story the other day of somebody paying $1,200 a month on premiums, and their deductible is like $7,000. They're not going to the doctor.
Right. Exactly. That's just basically.
They don't have health care. Yeah, right. So yeah. What you see right now, what you're seeing, are you seeing a reduction? Because the CBO, let me ask you this. What do you think of the CBO report?
Well, I think it was a stark reality of you know what we're looking at with this bill. I mean, you know that's you know this initial phase one. That's what they rated it on. This does not take into account going across state lines for insurance because that portion of this will be in the third phase of this, Scott. So, I mean, there are those numbers. I think you know we have to be cognizant of that and be aware of that. That you know this is what we're looking at. And again, it is a reminder of us that this we have to fix this the right way. And I have confidence in Paul Ryan and our system to do this. You asked earlier, Scott, whether this will pass or not. The other thing is, you know, how involved the president's going to be. President Trump ran on this issue, repeal and replace. So how entrenched is he going to be on this? What is his position on this? He's come out and said he's in favor of it. I think he's going to have to work this legislation, get up on Capitol Hill, talk to members, and work on it. We can't pull the rug out from anybody. That's the most important part of this. We will not do that, but we're going to have to look at this in from the standpoint of this is complicated, this is nuanced, but we have to fix it. We have an obligation to do that.
You know, the CBO report talked about the millions and millions of Americans that would be that would go without insurance if this passed. Well, it makes sense because it doesn't include a mandate. So if you're 20 something, let's say, and you're looking at $1,000 a month premiums and $6,000 deductibles, I'm not signing up for it. And then if I do need it, if somebody, you know, for God forbid, I'm diagnosed with leukemia or something, then I sign up for it. I pay a 30% increase in my premiums. So be it. I'm now covered for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of treatment. What happens to all these people that don't sign up for it? I mean, we're back to where we were 8 years ago. People go into the emergency rooms for their treatment of minor injuries.
Well, I think we have an opportunity to fix that in this bill. I think looking at particularly people that have pre-existing conditions, high-risk pools, a number of the states across the country have actually done a pretty good job with that, of managing that money, keeping insurance companies accountable, bringing down drug prices. I mean, part of what this bill does also is pushes some of the stuff onto the states. Now, unfortunately, in Illinois, we don't have a very functioning state government right now, so that could be problematic in the state of Illinois. But some states have done a very, very good job when it comes to that high-risk pooling in taking care of people. But to mandate young people, we've all been young before, and, you know, to mandate people to get insurance or pay a high penalty, that's not going to be a part of this. But there is a way to do this by structuring it the right way. We're also going to have health savings accounts. We're going to save money from Medicaid. Think about this, Scott. Medicaid used to be a program that simply was for poor women and children. Since Bill Clinton was president, the Medicaid population has tripled. Now, able-bodied working men can be on Medicaid. You know, that I don't think is something, I mean, I should say this, that has to change. We have to have a work requirement as a part of that. My point is, we're going to save dollars on some of these other things that will help with catastrophic and pre-existing conditions.
Talking with Congressman Darren LaHood, I got this morning from a listener that got this information from a website called acasignups.net. He said he spent a few minutes online looking at some numbers here, and according to that website, the repeal of the Affordable Care Act would have the following impact on your district. 41,509 projected to lose coverage if the ACA is repealed.
Yeah, I mean,
are you aware of these numbers?
I have not seen those numbers. I think in looking at the bill that was introduced last week, again, there has to be some follow-up on that. There has to be a phase two and a phase three. The Secretary of Health and Human Services is going to play a big role in this. Again, that does not take into account being able to go across state lines for insurance. That's in the phase three of this. So, I mean, again, I will go back to what I said earlier, Scott. We have to make sure that we do not pull the rug out from anybody, and that's going to be important throughout this process. We have an obligation to fix it. Remember, if we do nothing, Obamacare fails, and the 20 million people that have health insurance are not going to have it. We have to fix it.
All right, and finally here, because people are going to have just a million questions about the Affordable Care Act. On your next break, your next significant break, and I don't know when that would be, do you plan on doing any town halls?
So we are back in April. We have about 10 days in April, and we're looking at doing a couple town hall events and trying to figure out where the best place to do those are at. So we're absolutely considering those. And I will tell you this, Scott, I've done 250 public events in the last 6 months. I did four elections in 16 months. I've continued to talk about this issue. Anybody that calls my office in Bloomington or Peoria or Springfield, we talk to them. We try to set up a meeting to meet with them. I mean, this is an issue that, you know, that is very controversial, and there's a lot of there's a lot of people, a lot of angst out there with that, and I understand that. And part of the democracy is engaging with people, talking to them, and I try to do that every single day, and we'll continue to do that. But dialogue and transparency will be part of what we do moving forward.
But what about a town hall? You had Tom Cotton. He faced some crowds in Arkansas. Over in Iowa, you had Chuck Grassley, who I think he even tweeted something about that he saw no evidence of anybody attending his forums that are paid protesters. You're hearing a lot about that. Town hall, though, yay or nay in April?
I'm supportive of having a town hall, but I want to make sure that people, for instance, I had an event in Jacksonville where we had over 100 people there, and some of the people there want to play the gotcha game. They want to come in there and embarrass you and yell at you and scream at you and put a camera phone in your face. And I understand that that's part of it. I had 15 protesters outside of my office in Peoria. I invited them all into my office. We sat around the table and we had a good dialogue. If we can do that, the most important part of a town hall, Scott, is the structure of it. Is it going to be a constructive dialogue? I don't want screaming and yelling. If we could have a constructive dialogue, I think that would be great, where people want to actually engage, have questions asked, and I answer them. I'm looking forward to being part of that type of town hall meeting.
All right, Congressman Darren LaHood, we'll leave it there. Good talking to you, and we'll do it again in we'll do it again in a month.
Hey, and I want to root on Bloomington High School as they go into the tournament tonight, and hopefully they get to Peoria for the state tournament on Friday.
Ooh, how about that? And how about wishing ISU Redbirds the best of luck in the NIT?
Well, Absolutely. Them too, both the Redbirds and Bloomington High School. Lots of room for it.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. We'll talk to you next month.
All right. Take care.